6, what is alpha inflation and how does one calculate the extent of it for a given set of ANOVA follow-up analyses? Describe the three ways to assess experiment-wise type 1 error. Which of these do you prefer? Explain your answer carefully. Alpha inflation is the simple idea that the more statistical significance tests you do, the more you are likely to end up rejecting the null, and the greater the accumulated chance that you're going to make at least one type 1 error. Alpha inflation specifically refers to an increasing chance of making type 1 errors when you make multiple comparisons. There have been multiple attempts to push the notion of beta inflation. They've never gotten anywhere. The idea is that you might have too little power for any of your comparisons, or for some but not others. And it's gotten nowhere, which is a real shame, because nearly all of the mistakes that we make statistically are type 2 errors. We really don't make that many type 1 errors. How does one calculate the extent of it for a given set of ANOVA follow-ups? What we have to do is take into account the risk of each comparison and the number of comparisons. We have three ways of assessing experiment-wise type 1 error. One is a priori. We decide what risk we're willing to take for each comparison and the number of comparisons we're going to make. Now, all of this happens a priori, before we've done any analyses. So this is the maximum risk we're willing to take. So if we decide we're going to do uncorrected tests, and we're going to do 5 of them, that's 5 times 0.05, or a 0.25, 25% a priori risk. We start out ahead of time saying the worst that could happen to us is 25%. The second approach is post hoc tests. Post hoc assessment. When we use a post hoc approach, we recognize that we can only make a type 1 error when we actually reject the null. And so what we do here is we look at the number of nulls that we rejected times the rejection criterion for each. So if we have decided that we're going to use an LSD, which is based on a P of 0.05, and 2 of those 5 pairwise comparisons were significant, we have 2 risks of 0.05 or a 0.10 accumulated experiment-wise risk. The last approach is an exact post hoc experiment-wise alpha. By exact, we mean instead of looking at the risk we were willing to take when we rejected the null, we look at the risk we actually took based on the p-value from that pairwise comparison. You can only do that when you can actually get a p-value for each pairwise comparison, and some procedures preclude that. LSDs and HSDs just give you a critical value. They don't tell you what the p-value is, it just tells you whether p is less than 0.05. Other procedures do allow you to do that. So we've got a priori. How many am I going to take at what risk each? That's as bad as it could possibly be. Post hoc, how many did I actually reject the null at the risk I was willing to take? An exact experiment-wise is the accumulation of the p-values of the rejected nulls.
How does that differ from
the post hoc? The post hoc says I got 3. I rejected the null 3 times at the 0.05 level. So 3 times 0.05. The other one says, on one of them my p-value was 0.04, on another it was 0.01, on another it was 0.001. And so I would say that my total risk is 0.051, the accumulation of actual estimates of type 1 error instead of just what I was willing to risk. How much am I actually risking? And people who don't like that don't like it because you're making more estimations. People who do like it because your number is always smaller. I mean, you never reject the whole set each at 0.04999999. Right? You're always taking less than the 5% risk you were willing to take. And that's the argument for the exact procedure.
Is it a dumb question?
No, please.
I was just going to ask, why you would ever not do an exact? It would be because you can't always get the p-value?
Sometimes it isn't convenient. For example, if you want to do LSDs, SPSS will give them to you, but a lot of people don't like the way it calculates the error term. But one of the things that you can do is do pairwise F tests, but then use the error term from the full model and recalculate and then plug that in to web pages that I can give you, and it comes back with an exact p-value. Okay, if you're doing real high-end stuff and it really, really matters, sometimes it's worth taking the 15 minutes. Most of the time, these are, honestly, these are hairs that are split here that are rarely split in a journal article.
I just need to clarify for myself. With uncorrected, is that the only time you don't like divide the number of comparisons by 0.05?
Yes. Yeah, and we'll talk about correction here in a little bit. But yes, correction means I'm going to worry about my overall experiment-wise error by reducing the error rate on each comparison.
Okay?
One way or another. I know, that's a great question. Quit fussing.